Terrible things in our lives, and we ought to be glad about it. I think we owe God a receipt. And you know, a receipt is His praise. When you go into Walmart or some department store, you make a purchase, and they ask, "Do you want a receipt?" And when you get a receipt, on the bottom of the receipt is "Thank you." As you look back over the chasm of your life and see where God has brought you from, you ought to give God a receipt. Come on, somebody. Give Him a receipt. You ought to tell Him thank you. Down at the cross where my Savior died, down where for cleansing for sin I cried, there to my heart was the blood applied, singing glory to His name. I'm singing glory. Come on. Let me hear you today now. Somebody ought to know that. Glory to His name. I'm singing glory. Come on, you ought to put your hands together. Singing you. Come on, let us make a few more rounds. Singing. I'm singing glory. Singing glory. Oh, man. Come on, this is the last round. Now you better... You at church, you might as well have church. Come on, this is the last round. I'm singing glory to His name. Singing glory to His name. Come on, bless His name today. God is great and he's greatly to be praised. He has done so much for us that we cannot tell it all. And certainly we thank him for our presence here. Because if it had not been for the Lord on our side, we don't know where we'd be. So where we are, he brought us. What we have, he gave it to us. What we know, he taught us. Paul said it this way: it is in him we live, move, and have our being. Now you ought to be able to praise God for that. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Father in heaven, we thank you again for the joy of the journey. We thank you for looking beyond our faults and blessing us to see and minister to our every need. For Lord, you brought us thus far, and it's you that will carry us on. And Father, our prayer is, as always, that you forgive us of our sins and our sinfulness. As we confess our sins to you, Father, we know that you are a just and forgiving God. Lord, here it is again that I'm standing to preach, and I need your preaching power. Cancel out every stratagem and scheme of the enemy, that nothing will hinder your word from going forward. I pray, Lord, that you till the hearts, the soil of the hearts of your people. That as your word is sown, Lord, it would fall on good ground. And Lord, we will bring unto you a bountiful harvest, that you will be pleased with our life and living. And then, Father, when you would have finished with us, you'll still have all the honor, power, and glory. It is in the marvelous, majestic name of our Christ, Christ of God, that we pray. And every heart say amen. Certainly, we are grateful and thankful the privilege of being here today and having this opportunity to address you. And certainly, we thank God for the chairperson of the deacon ministry and to all of these preachers, plethora of preachers that sit here with me on the pulpit, and to the pulpit search committee, and to all of you, my father's children. It's just good to be alive. Let me rewind that and say that again. It's just good to be alive. Could have been dead sleeping in our graves, but the Lord touched us this morning and brought us from a sleep so close to death. And I don't know about you, but I'm glad about it. Yesterday could have been the last day, but the Lord has given us a new day. And as the song say, ooh, we, what a blessing. Amen. Amen. I don't want to belabor the time with superfluous salutations. Exodus chapter 15. Thank you, Reverend Kilcrest, for your hospitality, and to all of these brothers who greeted us. And certainly my wife is here. Ask her to just wave her hand. Amen. And then our driver is here, one of the members from our church, and one of my dear friends. We went to high school together. Matter of fact, all of the grades together. And Brother Leroy Hollinshed, I thank God for him. Amen. Exodus 15. If you have it, say amen. Amen. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. I want to talk about God, our triumph. Look at your neighbor and say, God, our triumph. Israel was entrapped at the Red Sea, mountains on both sides, and Pharaoh's army was pursuing from the rear. And it is God who gave Moses divine instructions to stretch out the rod, and in stretching out the rod, God moved on Israel's behalf. For God parted the waters and Israel walked across on dry land. And as soon as they got across the Red Sea, God calls for the waters to come back together, and the waters drown Pharaoh's army. After Israel was delivered from the hand of Pharaoh and his army, they began to sing unto the Lord a song. The song begins with the words of verse 1. It says, "Sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea." Moses and the children of Israel sang these words unto the Lord. And obviously, the song was so good that Miriam and her company began to sing the words of verse 1 over and over and over as a refrain, because they had just witnessed the hand of God bringing them through the Red Sea and rescuing them from their enemies. My brothers and sisters, the song was a song of victory that God had given Israel victory. For they knew it was the Lord who had delivered them from the hands of the Egyptians. They knew that it weren't their skills, their knowledge, their hard work, their strength, their wealth, their luck, their size, their smarts, their money that delivered them. For they said, "Jehovah God, he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea." For Israel did not sing about themselves or unto themselves. They were singing about the victory that God had given them. Let me pause parenthetically to poll the parishioners of this particular congregation. Have you ever gone through tough, trying, and turbulent times in your life, and you know the only reason you are sitting up in here is because it was the Lord that brought you through and brought you over? Have you ever been sick enough in your body, but God touch you when the doctors walked away and said there is no hope for you, but God showed up right in the midst of your sickness and touched your body, and the only reason you are in here today is because of the Lord? Have you ever been entrapped against our life's ropes, and you've been entrapped financially, physically, mentally, socially, spiritually, and you know that it was the Lord who delivered you? If I just called your situation, if I just talked about your circumstance, you owe God a praise. You owe God a praise. You owe God a praise, because God has delivered you from all of your troubles. Brothers and sisters, a note of victory should characterize the praise we sing unto God. The subject of our praise is God Almighty is victorious. God Almighty is great. God Almighty is marvelous in his works, his word, in his ways. God Almighty is just and true, and we should sing to magnify the Lord, exalt the risen Savior, and extend an invitation to the lost to come receive this victory that we have received from the Lord Jesus Christ. My brothers and sisters, if you got time and if you're patient with me, let me reveal to you three fickle points from this particular pericope, and then I'll bid you farewell. First of all, this song is a song of praise that indicates God's most disregarded attribute. Let me say that again. This song of praise is an indicator of God's most disregarded attribute. Verse 1, Moses and the children of Israel sang a song of victory. Victory, brothers and sisters, implies war. God is a God of war. He's a God of conflict, confrontation, and combat. God is a God who will confront you. He will combat you. He will conflict your ways. This attribute of God is ignored, because when we think about God, we only want to think about the goodness of God, and God is good. Matter of fact, we have tagged a saying in church that God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. But God who's good can be a God of conflict without breaking and violating the attribute of his goodness. God is good, and God is a God of conflict at the same time. Do I have a witness? God will confront you if you contradict his ways, his will, and his word. This ignored attribute of God is better stated as wrath. God is a God of wrath. Notice in verse 3, if you will, the Lord is a man of war. He's a man of war. When the emphasis is on war, it denotes that God is a combatant. He will fight. It was just proven in that, in God and God alone, he had disconfitted Egypt's army. God, it wasn't Moses, it wasn't the people of God, it was God and God alone who drowned Pharaoh's army. My brothers and sisters, I'm here to tell you that God is still a God of war, a God of confrontation. Now, this can be good news or bad news. It all depends on what side of God you're on. Now, this is bad news if you oppose God's causes. You will come to know him as a combatant. Come here, psalmist, in Psalm 24, verse 8, he says, who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. God will fight. I come to tell you that God will fight. And your arms are not long enough to box with God. God will fight. He is a combatant. He fights. He is mighty in battle. If that one didn't get you, you remember Saul when he was on his way to Damascus to arrest the people, the Christians there who were doing God's will. And all of a sudden, a light shined from heaven way, brighter than the noonday sun, knocked him from his beast. And he heard a voice saying, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Don't you know it is hard for you to kick against the prick? If that one then gets you, Revelation 2:16, Jesus said to the church at Pergamos, repent or else I will come unto you quickly and will fight against you with the sword of my mouth. If you are contrary to God's will, if you oppose God, that's bad news for you. But if you are for God and God is for you, this is good news. Ah, somebody here ought to be a witness. If you for God, you will hear God say things like this: if I be for you, who can be against you? Now, if you flip that around, if I'm against you, who can be for you? God will say things like this: you, in me, you can do all things. He will say things like this: you are more than a conqueror through Christ who strengthens you. If you are for God and God is for you, this is good news. This is good news. This is good news. God is a God of war. Disregarded attribute, but this song is an indicator of his due praise. Watch him. Verses 6 and 13. He gives purpose. One is his power. That God is a God of power. Thy right hand, O Lord, is become glorious in power. Thy right hand, O Lord, has dashed to pieces the enemy. Notice, if you will, the word power and right hand mentioned in verse 6. A hand is an instrument of power, and the right hand is generally stronger than the left. So God, in talking about power and right hand, Moses is revealing the omnipotence of God. Y'all know what omnipotence is, right? It is, God is a God of all power. He's not a God of some power, black power, white power, political power, social power, church power, but he is a God of all. All power. Jesus got up resurrection morning, and he didn't say some power. He said all power. Heaven and earth is in my hand. He's a God of all power. In other words, he's a God of immeasurable power. He's so powerful, there's no one act of God that you can point to and say that's all God. God is so powerful. When you go out and look at the glory of his creation, you can't just say that that's all there is to God power. Matter of fact, when you woke up this morning and you looked in the mirror and you saw yourself, you know that it was by God's power that you got it, but you can't just look at yourself and say that's all there is to God's power. God is a God of all power. And I don't know about you, but I need a God of all power on my side. I need a God of all power. Oh, the psalmist says, great is the Lord and of great power. Nahum said, Lord is great in power. But not only do I see his power in verse 6, I see his power in verse 13. It speaks of God's power in saving Israel. Thou hast guided them in thy strength unto thy holy habitation. God's power delivered them from Egypt and was leading them to the promised land. I came to tell somebody today that God has power to deliver you from all of your circumstances and situations. God has power to destroy yokes in your life and break chains. His power is enough. Look at somebody and tell them his power is enough. His power is enough. And every now and then, you ought to look back over your life and think about the active power power of God in your life. Helen Baylor had it right when she said, if it had not been for the Lord on my side, I don't know where I would be. He kept my enemies away. He let the sun shine through a cloudy day. He rocked me in the cradle of his arms because he knew I was battered and scarred. Oh, if it had not been for the power of the Lord on my side, I don't know where I would be. His power woke us up this morning. His power started us on our way. His power put bread on our tables. His power put clapping in our hands, put stepping in our feet. His power put our sanctity in our minds. His power put clothes on our backs, put joy in our hearts, put peace in our minds. We ought to thank God for his power. Praise him because of his power, but not only that, we praise him because of his preeminence. Verse 11 says, who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? They confess that Almighty God is in a class all by himself. I thought I would get a few more amens. I'm preaching better than y'all saying amen. He's in a class all by himself. I think you need to look at your neighbor and tell him God is in a class all by himself. He has no equals. God is God and he's God alone. You remember when God met Moses through the burning bush, he told Moses to go on into Egypt and tell Pharaoh to let my people go. Moses said, well, God, who shall I tell them sent me? He says, well, there are no words that can adequately explain me, but just tell them I am that I am sent you. Do I have any witnesses? So when Moses got down to Pharaoh's camp, he said, God of all power sent me. And he began to perform miracles. And Pharaoh began to call for his magicians. And his magicians began to perform miracles. But God's miracles were greater than Pharaoh's magicians' miracles. Listen, Satan can do something, but Satan can't do what God do. Listen, a good man in your life may do some things, but a good man in your life can't do for you what God can do. A good woman in your life can do something, but a good woman in your life can't do for you what God can do. Good children and good friends in your life may be good, but they can't do for you what God is able to do. God is in a class all by himself. Some folks have made money their God. But I'm here to tell you that money has a limit. And I don't care how much you got accumulated. There can be one happening in your life that can come about and wipe you out. But when your money is gone and you call the roll, ask God where God is. God says, I'm here and I'm still present. Have you ever called a roll in your life? Sick, and you said, God, where is she? God says, here. He is preeminent. He is in a class all by himself. You owe him praise because of his power, because of his preeminence. But you owe him praise because of his pity. Look at him in verse 13. He says, thou in thy mercy hast led forth the people which thou hast redeemed. Mercy is that attribute of God in which he is faithful in his love toward his people. pities us in our distresses and redeems us from all of our afflictions. Through his love, he saw their need and sent Moses to meet their need. I want to tell you that God is no respecter, period, a person. God, just like he looked at their needs then, he sees your needs now. And God is able to look down out of heaven and see exactly where you are and what you are going through, and he will send somebody to help you, to show you that he's still a God of mercy. Oh, somebody here know that God is a God of mercy, because Jeremiah said early this morning when we got up out of our bed, we were greeted with mercy, and he didn't give us no old worn out mercy. He gave us new mercies for this new day. He's a God of pity. Aren't you glad that he's not a God of just punishment? But mercy is God not doing to you what he ought to do to you. We should have been dead, sleeping in our graves, but he sent us mercy. Somebody ought to say amen to that. Lord, I've messed up enough to be dead no telling how many times over. But the reason I'm here is because of his mercy. He's a God of mercy. Look at your neighbor and say, you sitting up in here like you deserve to be here. You don't deserve to be here. The only reason you're here is because he pitied you. Sitting up in here won't clap your hand. Won't say amen. As if you earned the right to be here today. Listen, you sinned enough on yesterday to be gone yesterday, but God still woke you up this morning. Do I have a witness? You ought to thank God for his mercy. We ought to sing because he's a God of power. We ought to sing because he's a God preeminent. We ought to sing because he's a God of pity. Here it is, my last point. Then I bid you farewell. Here it is, Moses and the children of Israel. They were singing the Lord's song as an indicator of their faith in him. Faith came to manifestation in several ways. First of all, Israel confessed God as Savior. The Lord is my Savior. He's my strength and song. And I will, and he will become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him a habitation. My God is my Father's God, and I will exalt him. This is a personal confession. Notice my strength, my song. He is my salvation. He is my God. Now, I can't tell you what he means to you, but I can tell you what he means to me. He is my song. He is my strength. He is my salvation. And he is my God. And they began to sing unto the Lord.
And they were singing unto the Lord this song by faith. They were singing like they were already in the promised land. For their God has just delivered them out of Pharaoh's army. And God had just delivered them by them walking through the Red Sea. But they were singing and shouting like they were already in the promised land. Do I have a witness? I want to leave you this morning by telling you that you don't have to wait until God bring you all the way out. You can shout while you are on your way. Ain't God all right? They were singing and shouting, and shouting and singing. They were singing God's praise while they were on their way to the promised land. They were singing about God's power. They were singing about God's preeminence. They were singing about God's pity. And they were singing by faith because they held on to God's promises. For God told them that I'm going to bring you into a land that flows with milk and honey. I'm going to bring you into a land that you will have houses that you didn't have to build. I'm going to bring you into a land that you will have vineyards that you didn't have to plant. And in their sanctified imagination, as they were walking toward the land, they were singing God's praise. Somebody in this room, you need to hear what I just said. You don't have it yet, but you need to shout while you're on your way. God had delivered them, and God is able to deliver you. You know what God did in Egypt? He told them to put blood on the doorposts, and I'm going to send the death angel through Egypt. And when the angels see the blood on the doorpost, the angel will pass by. The blood on the doorpost is a shadow of Jesus hanging on the rugged cross. He said, when you get under my son's blood, I'm going to send the death angel, and the death angel will pass over. Ain't the Lord all right? You know what Jesus did? One Friday, he went to a hill called Calvary. He let them nail his hands and rivet his feet. They put a crown of thorns on his head. He died. Didn't he die? He died until the sun refused to shine. He died until the moon dripped away in blood. He died until the stars fell from the silver socket. He died until the veil of the tent was rent from top to bottom. He died. Didn't he die? If you know he died, why don't you slip your hand in somebody's hand and say, neighbor, he died. But I thank God that's not the end of the story. He died on Friday. They put him in a borrowed tomb. He stayed in the grave Friday night, Saturday morning, Saturday night. But early, I said early Sunday morning, before the dew could fall on the ground, early Sunday morning, before the women made it to the tomb, early Sunday morning, before the angels could get him up, he got up with all power, heaven and earth, in his hand. Jesus is our triumph. Jesus is our triumph.
be shadowed. In Exodus 11, all that God did for Israel, God does for us through his son Jesus Christ. Listen, I thank God for his power. I thank him for his preeminence. He's in a class all by himself. And in saying that, I understand that I shouldn't elevate people to the place of God, nor my possessions and money. Because God is in a class all by himself. God is God and he's God alone. God is a God of pity. He's a God of mercy. What he should have done to us, he didn't. Somebody ought to shout hallelujah. Somebody ought to praise his holy name. He spared us, not because we're right, but because he's good. Listen. And if you're going to do it, you have to do it by faith. Stop waiting until you get there. By faith, you ought to be able to see through your troubles. See through your wilderness. And see the promise fulfilled in your life. But listen, if you just so choose to live your life contrary to God, God is a God of wrath. He's a combatant. And I don't think you can stand in the ring with God. He's a man of war. The emphasis is not on man, but it's on war. Because God is not a man, but God is a God of war. Listen, years ago I decided that I didn't want God to fight against me. Because I knew if God was fighting against me, I was losing. Losing in life. But then I flipped it and I said, if God is fighting for me, the victory that Christ gained on Calvary, I don't have to fight for it. All I got to do is stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Some of you looking tired and worn because you're fighting. Every time something come up, you're fighting. Every time something is said, you're fighting. You're chasing rumors. You're chasing feathers. People curse you. You curse them. And you're exonerating all of your energy. Fighting against people. When all God told you to do is stand still. See the salvation. Listen, the doors of the Lord's house stands ajar. Everyone to your feet if you will. Listen, if you're here and you don't know the Lord, he says, come. 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 Weary, wounded, and sad, come. And you will find in me a sweet resting place. And your heart will be made glad. Come. If you're here and you're not saved, come. If you're here and you're worn, he said, come unto me, all ye that are weary and are heavy laden. And you shall find rest. Not to your flesh, but to the most deepest part of you. It'll give you mental rest. He'll give you rest in your will. He'll give you rest in your emotions. Come. Thirdly, if you're here and you're in need of a church home and the Lord has laid this church on your heart, come, come, come. Do it now, because listen, delayed obedience is disobedience. The Lord says, now is the time of salvation. Now is the acceptable time of the Lord. Come, come, come.